Blog Talk Radio.
What y'all waiting on? Let's talk.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Mr. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Coming live from the barber shop.
What you say?
Here we go, fellas.
Yeah.
You know that sound, you know the signature. As we always do, you are officially talking sports with the 12th man on a Thursday, April the 6th. Man, time is just completely flying by, but you're not going to cut me. You're not going to release me, man. I'm going to keep it going, man. So that's what we do every week. That's right. And I am your host, Andre. We're getting ready to talk some sports with the 12th man. But before we always do, we like to check in. I like to check in with my co-host, America. So first and foremost, let's kick it off to my man, JQ. Chilling with his boy Mike. How you doing this evening, sir?
Hey man, I'm good. We up on a Thursday. Oh, going up on a Thursday.
On a Thursday.
You gotta love it. There you go. I'm good, man. Chilling out, ready to talk some sports with y'all. How you doing today, Dre?
Fantastic. That is my boy JQ. Appreciate the love with the intro as always, man. And without further ado, we've got to check in my other boy, Rob. The only reason why I'm actually friends with him because I've known him for so long, because if he was a Saints fan before, we wouldn't be friends. But, Rob, how you feeling this evening, man? What's going on, bro?
I've been a Saints fan all my life, man. You knew that when we started being.
I'm a fan.
Hey, you almost got him in trouble. I was going to say, are you a New Age Saints fan?
I came out of my mama's womb saying, who that?
I just want to mess with him.
That's too much information.
Hey, those first words I said, man, when I was born. Who that?
Well, I give Rob a lot of credit. He did not let that slide. He said, whoa, what you talking about? Hey, that's a fan right there. I give him a whole lot of credit for that response. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I came out saying, who that? We were wearing the paper bags over our head, too. So, you know, I'm not a traitor.
Yeah. Y'all was the Angels and not the Saints. Well, we were some Broncos, so I'll give you that.
I think all three of our franchises have had our share of bad days.
Absolutely. That's for sure.
Exactly. But all right, let's get this party started, fellas. Like we always do, you are officially talking sports with the 12th man. Let's get those numbers out as we always do, fellas. You want to reach out, call us, show us what's up, show us some love. The number is always 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. We're on Twitter. If you type in at the number 12, THMAN Sports, 12th Man Sports, you'll find us in that aspect. And last but not least, go to Facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you actually type in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us in that arena as well. Gentlemen, we got a lot of things to talk about. And as always, NFL is king. We are going to recap the NCAA championship. Congrats to you, Rob, to North Carolina winning. That was a good game. And I mean good game as far as pulling off. It wasn't a well-played game because the officials kind of messed it up. Georgia
and the play was
North
ragged.
Carolina in the season. Yeah, the play was pretty ragged, too. But
I was going to say, don't let the play off the hook.
Hey. National chance, that's all we got to say.
Hey, I give you credit. You national chance, but that game was raggedy.
That was game was ugly. I will admit to that.
Yeah.
Officiating
we'll talk about that
was soon. Poor. And,
Go ahead, Rob. Let it out, bro. Go ahead, man.
I would definitely admit the officiating was atrocious in that game. The basketball game had no flow. And I tell you what, the college game has got a long way to go if they want to be the NBA game. The NBA game just has so much better flow and pace to it. And the college game is they've got to improve that some kind of way. But that game, the pace of that game was atrocious. And it was ugly to watch. I mean, I'm glad my team won. But it was extremely ugly. No play. Really let the guys play until the last 3 minutes of the game. You got two physical teams with a lot of big bodies on a team. Let the guys be physical and play the game.
Yeah, I'll admit. Like I said, I'm kind of surprised you didn't let that you don't want to start off with that too, bro. But, you know, it is what it is. And I'm just happy to see, you know, all the memes from Michael Jordan were able to kind of like take a rest that day, man. But, you know, we'll jump into that and we'll talk about what Roy really was talking about, Michael Jordan, so I can figure out a way to tie that in too. Looks like we got somebody jumping in, so I'm going to grab this quick call here and we'll see what we got here. So, see how it plays out. We always enjoy folks checking in. Hello, welcome to Falcon Sports with 12 Man.
Yep. It's just me, bro.
Yeah. Was that you coming back? Oh, man, okay.
Yeah, I got disconnected. I'm sorry, I don't know what just happened.
That's tripped out. All right, cool. All right, so let's get this party started. I just realized that's the same number. We were just kind of talking junk about, you know, no more Michael Jordan memes, man, so we're all good, man. So anyway,
no, but you know what?
Man.
You know what they do? I'm sorry. You know what? And I'm going to say this, and I know I'm a Nike person, but as much as the crying Jordan memes we get, they should have a day full of positive Jordan memes if he wins the game. Like, if you're going to put him on blast with the crying Jordan meme, you got to give him some love for the positive one, right?
I'm with you. I agree. That's a good call. Let's change the whole society, bro, and have some positivity. I like it, man. So
I'm just saying.
Good call, man.
Just saying.
I'm with you. And you know, it makes a lot of sense, man. I'm 100% agreement with you. I want to make sure, Rob, you still on, Rob? You still talking, bro? You still good?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing good. I mean,
okay,
how I felt about the game.
Okay.
And
I'm just making sure.
You know, we can always revisit it at the end of the game if we have time. End of the show if we have time.
We don't have to because that was raggedy.
All right, guys, let's get this party started here. It's all good. So first topic off the bat, we're going to talk about Colin Kaepernick, and I guess, Rob, let's talk about this, man. What do you think the best landing spot for Colin is, sir?
Well, I think mine may be a little different from probably what most people would say, I would think. You know, the obvious choice would be that obviously with Romo going into the broadcast booth, that, you know, the Houston Texans, which was a favorite for Romo, will be an option for Kaepernick. But I think the styles of quarterback is not what Bill O'Brien is looking for there in Houston. So Kaepernick would not be an option there. Another team that was considering Romo with the Broncos, he won't be an option in Denver either. Another team you can look at who desperately needs a quarterback, and that's the Cleveland Browns. He won't be an option there either for Hugh Jackson's offense either. To me, I think the perfect fits would be the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, Alex Smith, 33 years old. Kaepernick has similar skills to Donovan McNabb, who Andy Reid coached for many years with the Philadelphia Eagles. He would be, in my opinion, a great fit with Andy Reid. And I tell you, another team, even though albeit in a backup role, will be the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, similar styles, obviously different size quarterback than Russell Westbrook. But to me, it would be similar offenses that he'll be able to, you know, grasp pretty quickly. And to me, I think actually those would be the better two fits for him.
JQ?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm messing with Rob. First of all, he has got his smooth 98.7 jazz voice going tonight. He is killing it with me right now. But also, yeah, Shannon Sharp also brought that up on Undisputed about Kansas City. That's actually a good call. There's another one. If you don't draft a quarterback, what about Jacksonville? Because, I mean, Blake Bortles hasn't really shown that he's that guy. And maybe you bring him in against some competition and see what you got. And Tom Coughlin, of course, is always going to try to get the best out of him. And if your quarterback playing ain't up to par, he's going to tell you about it. And there's a couple more under the radar ones. I'm the same with Cleveland. I feel like if you would sign RG3, then you might be interested in Colin Kaepernick. But we also know about Cleveland's owner, so that's a no-go. The Cardinals, because, you know, Carson Palmer is hinting every year at retiring. Yeah, you might be the backup for a year, then that might be your job. So that's not necessarily a bad spot for him either. And another one that's a couple more years down the line, the Giants. I mean, Eli is showing all the signs of slowing down. He may hang it up, too, because I think Eli knows. Eli is going to have money in broadcasting. He's already got a ton of commercials, or if they're not broadcasting, wanting to do something a little different. Those are just options where Collins is not. He's got to get to a point to where he doesn't have, barring an injury, somewhere for him to go and step in and play right away. So where's your best path to plan in a year or two, or three at the most, right? If you sign somewhere and you start to learn the offense, you get in good with the coaching staff, where can you go and be the starter in a couple of years? So that's why you say Kansas City is a good call. I saw say Jacksonville is probably the quickest path because I think they're really unsold on Bortles. But if you're looking for another piece of stability, so to speak, then the Giants and the Cardinals.
You're already thinking that Bortles is not the answer already? Like a bad offensive line, or what do you think, man? Go ahead.
I'm thinking if you have questions about him, and it's not just been offensive line, his mechanics got really shoddy too. And that's what a lot of the scouts and the GMs will tell you, is that it's not so much that, but when things got bad, and even it leaked over to when things weren't going bad, he had gotten to such a bad, you know, practice habit and circumstance of being in the game to where his mechanics were flawed too. It's one thing to be under pressure some, you know, and have to change your mechanics, but Blake Bortles even when he didn't have, you know, a rusher around his feet, he still had happy feet. So I'm not saying you give up on Blake Bortles. What I'm saying is you make it be known to him that's not just his job to have and have a sense of entitlement. You bring him some competition to see what happens.
Yes, good call, good call. All right, so I'm thinking that, Robert, what do you think about that? You kind of agree with what JQ said or what?
No, those are some good points, but Blake Bortles, though, those are definitely some very good points in regards to Bortles, but I go back to the season before last, and it looked like he was ready to take that next step, and that offense was clicking on all cylinders. And then all of a sudden last year, the offensive line was, you know, was causing some extreme shakiness from Blake Bortles.
Extreme shakiness.
So I'm really
extreme shakiness. Go ahead, bro.
That's a new phrase, man. You know? But I would, if I'm Jacksonville, I'm looking to do everything I possibly can to fix that offensive line and give him another crack at it. Because that group of wide receivers and that offense, they get another weapon there. They're in position right now to grab Leonard Fournette at the number four position. If they can get an offensive line there, I think he can be right back to where he was just the season before last. And if he fails this year with the weapons that he has and he fixes offensive line, then I think he got some issues. You better start looking at fixing the problem and get rid of Bortles. But right now, I don't think he's the problem. Give him another chance. Has fixed the players around him.
All right.
Yeah, no, just real fast. I'm not saying that's not necessarily always the case, but 2 points to that, just real fast about Bortles. 2 years ago, you know, because we play fantasy football as well, he got a lot of those stats when the game was out of hand, and it wasn't really him keeping them in the game. For the most part, it was a lot of garbage time points and yards. And, I mean, that all counts for fantasy, but if you look at how he got it in that year, he was great, but he was great when the chips weren't on the line, where they were blown out. Now they had chances this year. Even the offensive line play was not great, and I'll give you that for sure. But he also reverted to some bad mechanics to where they were in some of those games where he could have put up those yards and points, and he didn't, because I think a part of it may have been mental where, you know, when the game's down the line, it's a lot more freedom than being right in the middle of the war. And the second piece is, I'm not saying necessarily get rid of Bortles this year. When I say Jacksonville in terms of Kaepernick, it's still one of those ones where you're looking like, I'm not coming in day one really even as a starter, or if you open up the competition, you know, Blake Bortles has to be so bad that he wins it, you know what I mean, to get it right away. But to Rob's point of, you give him another chance, say you get the offensive line together, and he's still shaky, and now you're still on the team in the building, this time next year, you're not worried about where you're signing. You're already there, and now you're in a situation where you have a much clearer path right away to being a starter than you do anywhere else, really, where, to all the points we just talked about, you got to wait at least probably a year or 2 years to get in, where that one might be a year away, and that's still your quickest path to being a starting quarterback.
You're already here first. Blake Bortles is not the answer from JQ. Appreciate that, JQ.
I'm just messing with you, bro.
No, actually, it's pretty interesting, too, because, you know, they brought in the Jaguars actually brought in Deshaun Watson for a visit, which I think is pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a smoke screen or if not, but, you know, like you said, it's definitely where there's smoke, there's fire. I know there's been a couple of players, like I know they've been kind of sniffing around a running back because you figured that's kind of the missing component. But if you do think quarterback is not the answer, man, then you better get that solved pretty quickly too, man. So, you know, like I said, good calls on that too, man. We'll see how the future holds for that, and we will continue that. Speaking of that, this is another surprise in that if you would have told me, I would say probably like a couple of years earlier that Adrian Peterson would be a free agent just looking for work, I would have, you know, you said you're crazy, man. This guy was, you know, clearly one of the top backs. But he's clearly lost it. And I'm not saying lost it as far as, you know, just there's been a lot of controversy off the field and whatnot, too. But now he apparently is looking for work, man. So, Rob, I know this is interesting for you. Best spot for him. And I think he had an interesting visit with your team, bro. So go ahead and elaborate, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I think he's visiting with the Saints on next week. So they have a meeting set up for next week. And I believe he just met with the Patriots here in just a day or so ago. But I think the best fits for Adrian Peterson personally will be either the Oakland Raiders or the New England Patriots, in my opinion. Those are the two teams I think he'll be the best fits for. Not sure how much he has in the tank. I know he got hurt last season. But if we've seen over Adrian Peterson's career, he's come back from injuries quite well. So it's going to be really interesting. But based on what we saw prior to the injury last season, he was really struggling. Not sure if it was because of the Minnesota Vikings offensive line, but not sure, you know, what the issue is. But obviously he hasn't been a quick sign by any team during this free agency period. So there's obviously some concern on if he could, you know, have put up the same kind of numbers he has early in his career. He's 32 or 33 years old now. That's definitely old. By running back standards. So it's going to be really interesting to see if a team give him another shot. But in Oakland's case, Latavius Murray obviously is not there anymore. And in the Patriots' case, I just feel like they know how to take care of their players and put them in the right position to succeed. And that's why I think he would be a better fit there. And in New Orleans' case, not quite so sure. I mean, obviously Sean Payton likes his backs to be very versatile. And not saying that Mark Ingram could hold Adrian Peterson jockstrap, but at this stage in his career, is he better than Mark Ingram? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's a good point, especially by New Orleans. And my thing about the ones you mentioned, I think they are good landing spots, but they all have their own caveats. I think Oakland is still going to play the waiting game to see if Marshawn Lynch comes back being a Bay Area native. They really want him to be on the team. So I think that they don't sign Peterson until they know that Lynch, they can't get Lynch. So that's going to extend his window, which I think he should leave open anyway, and I'll get to that in a minute. And the Patriots, I think, are using Peterson also for leverage for LeGarrette Blount. They want LeGarrette Blount back, but they want LeGarrette Blount back on their terms and their price. So you bring in Adrian Peterson, who's more of a bruiser style because they have a James White that, okay, he can fill your role, bro. You need to get here into camp and sign with us, or, you know, we'll get Adrian Peterson, and then where are you going to be? Right, you're going to be Adrian Peterson, so to speak, you know, trying to find a job. But my compass, if he would wait a little longer, as I look at the landscape, it takes me to the NFC East. You look at the Giants, they don't have a great running back. Would he, even for name fair and to bring more attention to the Giants, and I'm being to talk in New York and see what he has left, could he go to the Giants? I'm not saying they will, but they don't have anybody you look and say, okay, you know, Perkins is decent, but he's still young. Maybe we take a swing at Adrian Peterson. The Eagles, you know, is Matthews that guy? You can't give Darren Sproles that kind of work in the middle of the tackles for, you know, 200 attempts a year. You can't do that. You got to have a bigger back. Do they do it? And the Redskins, no running back on the Redskins roster makes you feel like that, you know, Adrian Peterson right now can't at least compete and probably beat those dudes out. So if he's willing to wait to see how patient they are and see what they do in the draft, then he might have more suitors. But I think those are three spots where if he signed, I'd be like, okay, even if he's not Adrian Peterson anymore, I can see why he went there and why they signed him.
Nice.
Yeah, that's crazy, guys, that, you know, Marshawn Lynch, who has been out of the league, man, is – and, you know, obviously, you know, we think Marshawn Lynch is taking care of himself, too. He's been an excellent runner, too, you know. So the fact that he's getting a lot of play, too, man. So, you know, Oakland is willing to wait, like you said, JQ, man. So, you know, Adrian Peterson, man, it's kind of a – again, this is one of those things, you know, maybe, as Rob said, he's getting older in running back years. You know, maybe he may add something to the team. Maybe that's fuel. I don't know. But we'll see what's going to happen, you know, and there's – a pretty good class of running backs coming in too, man. So maybe he may get signed later on, or he may just, you know, keep in shape, and then who knows what's going to happen. Somebody's going to pick him up later on as the years go or as the months go by. All right, Rob, let's kick this going here, man. We are going to keep talking about the updated mock draft for the NFL, and we are, I think we're officially 3 weeks now, if I'm not mistaken, exciting times.
3 weeks from tonight.
Yeah, man. Yeah, 3 weeks from the night, man. So we are officially on that right path, and Rob's trying to be like he's trying to be like Mel Kiper, JQ, trying to update his draft pretty frequently here, man. So what you got for us, man?
Better than my Mel Kiper. He's trying to be like me.
I'm not trying to say. I'm just trying to say you're trying to update it. I didn't say anything about you and, you know, who is Mel Kiper? Go ahead, bro.
All right, you know, last week I know we covered the second and the third rounds. In the draft, you know, updated the first round mock. Obviously, we're in the heart of the pro days right now in the stretch run of the draft here in 3 weeks. No changes at the top, pretty much. Myles Garrett, I think, is definitely the shoe-in for the number one pick. He's definitely the best player by NFL scout standards in this draft, and Cleveland is going to take him at the number one position. Don't expect any changes in that slot here for the next 3 weeks. Solomon Thomas, defensive end from Stanford. I moved him all the way up to number two to stay in the Bay Area and go to San Francisco. Moved Jonathan Allen at the number three. I think the Bears are sold on Mike Lennon and trying him as a starting quarterback position. So don't expect him to take a quarterback here. Definitely due to the fact there's not really a surefire elite quarterback in this draft. So Jonathan Allen, defensive line for John Fox. Leonard Fournette, we talked about that earlier, number four to Jacksonville. Marshawn Lattimore, Tennessee definitely needs some help with the corner position.
Oh, eight.
We have him going five. Uh-huh. Mitch Trubisky, he's the first quarterback off the board, going number six to the Jets. Jamal Ander Adams, LSU, ran a 4.33 on his pro day yesterday. Mm-hmm. And going seven to the Chargers. Marlon Humphrey, I moved him up quite a bit from my latest mock draft. I have him going number eight to Carolina, cornerback from Alabama. Malik Hooker, safety Ohio State to Cincinnati. And number 10, O.J. Howard. O.J. Howard, tight end from Alabama, going to Buffalo. And number 11, Derek Burnett, defensive end from Tennessee, going to the New Orleans Saints. Reuben Foster, linebacker, Alabama to Cleveland. Mike Williams, wide receiver, Clemson, Arizona. Taco Charlton, Michigan to Philly. Dalvin Cook, running back, Florida State to Indy. And, you know, I'll show Andre some love. I'll skip down and talk about his Falcons at 31. Jordan Willis, defensive end, Kansas State. And, again, my Saints at 32, Zach Cunningham, outside linebacker, Vanderbilt.
JQ, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I tell you what, if the Bengals got Malik Hooker, I would go outside and do a rain dance. But I told you, when Reuben Foster pushed that dude in the hospital tent at the combine, we were going to the Bengals, you can just put that down. We are a home for wayward souls.
Andre and I talked about you today with this.
I'm just saying, it's the truth. If you get a dude that's a high head that's got some talent, Marvin Lewis is going to draft that dude. That's just who he is. He's from the SEC in Alabama. That's got Marvin Lewis written all over. He's still trying to find.
Y'all going to take Joe Mixon in the second round?
We are going to take Joe Mixon in the second round.
Oh,
wayward souls. I'm trying to tell you, that's what we're doing, Cincinnati. I own a speakerphone because Mike wanted to hear us, and I told him we have a trading places bet of a dollar. Is it $1 a bet we have, or is it $10? It's $10. I told him that the Packers were going to take Christian McCaffrey if he was there at the end of the first round, and he was not a believer.
I have them going.
Mark Magic Mike's words, the Packers will not take a running back in the first round.
Oh! Who are they going to take, Mike?
Right now, I have McCaffrey going before Green Bay picking. I haven't taken Malik McDowell, defensive tackle from Michigan State, at the moment.
Okay.
They'll go with a big guy or a pass rusher.
Okay.
You guys should take a big tackle. Yeah. A big guy, defensive line, or a DN slash outside linebacker.
Okay.
First round, mark my words.
Okay.
Daquan's going to lose $10, and I'm going to drink the finest drink I can drink.
Wow. So right, like I said, I think it's kind of 50-50, man. I don't know, Mike, man, unless they have – I think it's a pretty good draft for running backs, so I'm kind of impartial. I kind of think they are going to draft a running back because that's one missing piece because, as you know, they probably had about five different people trying to, like, play running back. And, you know, Eddie Lacy's not coming back, man. So I'm just saying, you know, I kind of – it may not be Christian McCaffrey. It depends on who's there. But, obviously it's a guy that is not there.
That you won't take the running back in the first round. Like you said, it's a deep draft to running backs. Second or third round, I wouldn't doubt the Packers take a running back. But they won't – Ted Thompson is not taking a running back in the first round. Mark my words.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, good to know. Like I said, well – I think if Chris is not there, I think they're like Chris now. Go ahead.
I'll tell you what, if I'm wrong, I'll come back and I'll say on the air with Jaquan, I'll double reverse that bet and I'll owe him $20.
Oh,
that's the part that, ooh, he's real confident.
Look how confident he is. Okay, fair enough. Now I will say I like to bring my barber into the fray because he's a huge Denver Bronco fan, so he's all about. Well, you know that, you know, the Broncos are all high on Christian McCaffrey because, you know, it's in the family because his dad played, you know, so that's his thoughts, man. So, I mean, I don't know, man. It's kind of interesting to see what's going to happen because no one knows, man. Everyone's throwing smoke screens and smoke signals, man. But I'll say if Christian is there, I think that's the guy that they actually like, man. But that's just me, man. So we'll see. But Big Mike says they are
Bronco
not drafting
fans.
Running back. Yeah, I'm just telling you. Go ahead, Rob. You
say, the Denver Broncos. The Denver Bronco fans will be ecstatic when they hear the name Forrest Lamp, offensive guard, center, Western Kentucky, as their pick.
Yeah, that's a good pick for Denver.
That is a good pick.
It is.
We'll see. All right, gentlemen. I appreciate that.
We won't sell
Rob,
tickets. But
That's a solid pick for Denver.
I'm thinking we're looking at a pass rusher at number 31, I don't think Forrest Lamp is going to drop either, man.
You think Jordan Willis?
I'm saying I don't know if that's the guy, man. There may be another target, man, whether a safety, but I don't know. Like I said, there's a couple things that can happen, man, right about now too, man. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on that. So the updated mock draft, Rob. Appreciate you always on that. I know I give you a hard time. But the fact that you update that and keep track of that, that's a pretty good deal. And I'm kind of and secretly hoping that JQ is right about Reuben Foster, man, because that's going to be hilarious, man. I'm going to be watching right there just to see them pick, to see it go to, you know, what happens with Cincinnati at that pick, man. So, anyway,
okay. We'll
keep it going. Gentlemen, anything else you want to talk about that? Anything else, Rob, JQ, you want to talk about that as we wrap up that topic?
I'm good.
All right. Here we go. Let's talk about this is a pretty interesting. So earlier this week, unless you came out of the rock, man, you know, the whole world found out that Tony Romo will be released by the Cowboys. Probably like 2 seconds right after that, he's talking about, I'm going to be working for CBS. So, you know, we pretty much knew that this is something that I don't think it was a surprise as far as the move, but I think it was a surprise how quick the deal. I mean, it was like, hey, Tony Romo's retiring. Oh, by the way, he's working for CBS. So you talk about just this was pretty much already pre-planned. So JQ, what are your thoughts about that, man? Cowboys fans they're not crying either, pretty much.
Oh no, they're good. They got Dak. There's two thoughts I have about that. I think that Tony Romo is our Brett Favre for right now. I think if somebody gets hurt or they look around and say in training camp or maybe the early weeks of the season, they're like, this dude ain't getting it done. Houston comes to mind for one, and or maybe even Denver. They're like, we're tripping. We should have signed this dude. I feel like they might do it and then try to float water till game 6, get 4-2, 3-3, and bring him in. I think he I think in his mind he's retired. I think in his mind he's retired. But I feel like if he gets that call and he sees a team like, man, if I go to that team with what they have here in A, B, and C position, I can make them a winner. I can see him coming out of the booth to do that. I just can't. And the other piece about it is, if you're on the CBS broadcast teams, you have to be pissed off. You've been grinding and going to production meetings and going to all these games trying to move up the ladder. This dude has come literally out of the locker room to the number one team on CBS. That has to piss you off. That has to not be good for camaraderie at the CBS Christmas party. It can't be. Like, who is this mofo? You have no idea if he's going to be good or bad. He might get on the mic and stick and then do what? Now that you made him the number one thing, you're going to change him midseason, which is basically going to be a slap in the face to him and you that you made a mistake. Are they going to do that? I don't know.
Is he going to the number one team, though? Have he proved that, or he's just going to the team? I don't know if he's going to the number one team.
He's in the number one position. They announced that.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Legit man.
Okay. Wow.
Some sucks, but everybody else that's sitting there trying to get to the one spot that's been earning their stripes, and he just jumped into the one spot. That's got to hurt.
The three of us been grinding doing this show for years, and he just skipped right past us.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying. Like that.
Yeah.
He went
Rob.
Straight to the team.
Wow. Hmm? Go ahead, Rob. Your thoughts, man.
You know, I guess I better not whine about it, you know. You can't be a crybaby. You got to take the titty out of your mouth.
There it is. I knew it was going to happen. Hey, Rob.
Come on.
Rob, why don't you say you're listening to the Quiet Storm for me really quickly?
Hey, I told you. Take that titty out your mouth. It's not bullshit.
Yeah.
Listen to the Quiet Storm.
This show is officially not for kids right there. Go ahead, Rob. Finish your thoughts, bro. Go ahead, man.
Just so y'all know, America, JQ was a bad influence on me.
Oh, no. Don't put that in me, man.
Oh, man. Go ahead, Rob. Oh, man.
Well, you know, hats off to Tony Romo. This is what we want to do. I guess we can't be haters. You know, obviously it helps that Jerry Jones is a great connection for him. You can almost get any anything he wants for Tony Romo, and so it's going to be interesting. I think it's not going to be easy for him getting started. It's going to be a huge learning curve just going into that role. I've seen a lot of broadcasters go right from the court or the field to the broadcast booth, and it just takes them a while before they really grasp it. And I had an opportunity. Even with Magic Johnson, we heard him in the broadcast booth when he first started. And, he wasn't that sharp, but now he's so much better. And I had the opportunity to hear him speak a few weeks ago, and I was like, wow, he's so much better than he was a few years ago. So,
coach him up.
So it's going to take some time. But I don't think he will have it together from getting started.
Right. I agree, Rob.
I will say, when the first time we did the show, Rob, remember the first show we did, man? We were like, man, we were just so excited, man, to have a show, man. We were just making up stuff as we went along. It was pretty crazy, man. So I'll agree with you that, you know, as you kind of like progress and you kind of figure out your roles and things can get better too. So, they probably secretly hoping, JQ, that Tony Romo fails. But that's a whole other conversation, man. Just an interesting turn of events, man, how it happened so quickly. And like you said, Rob, good point. It's good to have friends in high places, man. So, whatever, we'll see how that plays out. I'm still a fan of Fox. No, that's just me. But like I said, we'll probably tune in to just kind of, see how he's going to do that first couple of shows. And then I can't wait for him to do a Cowboys game, man. That's going to be exciting for me to see too, man. So, he'll probably know that. So I'm kind of curious to see what type of thoughts will come from that particular game too, man. So, good call. And Tony, man, way to bounce back on your feet, bro. So, I'm going to talk to some Cowboys fans and kind of get their thoughts, man, because, I'm curious as soon as, like you said, Jakey, something happens with Dak, I'm curious what they're going to, you know, he's going to hit like his little slump or he's going to have some struggle times, man. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen about that too, man. So we will keep an eye on that. All right. I do want to kind
of
skip to something.
Some of y'all
quickly,
need to
man.
Stop acting like babies and take the titty out of your mouth.
Again, this show has officially gone another direction. Rob got it in there twice. Oh, man. He got it in there twice. Oh, Rob. Oh, man. All right.
I love
that
it.
That was good, man.
I love it.
Oh, man. So let's talk about this. Rob, that was pretty good. I know you've been waiting for that. And JQ, I got to tell you, man. So, you know, me and Rob, you know, we talk pretty frequently. And so Rob was like, man, I can't believe JQ didn't mess around and won after freaking, you know, Devin Booker went like 12 for 12, something from the field in my head. I went to sleep thinking I was up, and this joker done messed around and came back and won, man. So, first and foremost, now is a good time for the fantasy shout-out to JQ for pulling that off, man. Congrats, man, for the fantasy basketball championship. I know we were talking about getting you a belt or something. That's pretty funny, man. But you want anything to say about that? And I'll let Rob do his fantasy shout-out too, man. So, you got lucky little thing for the floor is yours, man.
Hey, man, listen, it's a tie, and I understand where Rob comes from because I went to bed mad because Rob ruined my perfect fantasy championship in another league, and I was really mad. Like, this dude not only ruined my perfect regular season, he also cost me the championship. I was so mad. I was mad. I'm not going to act like I wasn't mad because I was. I wouldn't have said nothing about it on air if I had lost. But I was mad. I woke up. Before I went to bed, I checked it again. It said 4-4. And the first thing I said, honest to God, was, how? What category did I come back in? Because I'm losing Brownlee. I thought I got blocks, honestly. And then I looked at this off free throw. I was like, I don't know how we just did that. But, yes, I was so pumped. But, absolutely, man, Rob, that was hard. I obsessed about that every day. About who to start when I had multiple options. Like, I've really thought about that all week and then all year. He was a good foe, and, you know, he was number one seed for a reason.
Yep. Rob, I know, you know, it kind of feels bad, but you did, you have anything to say, man? You did a fantastic job, man, I'll say as well, man.
Well, you know, first off, I would tell JQ congratulations, obviously, on winning the fantasy basketball. That's the reason why I had to push the show back a day, because it took me a day to really, you know, get over that still.
This was bad, too. Both of y'all bad over here. Both of y'all salty.
I'm like, man, it's Sunday night. I went to bed at 5-3, and, like, it's mine. He's not going to be able to come back. And to wake up and see that 4-4 tie, and you win the tiebreaker and win the championship. And free throw was the one category where I was comfortable, where I thought I was comfortable and had it. But Devin Booker goes 12 for 12 from the foul line on Sunday night. I'm like, man, how did a team foul him that much in the first place? He's a jump shooter.
Right. Yeah, I thought that
free throw shot.
I appreciate the love. That was crazy. I thought I had lost. I freely admit that on the broadcast. I thought I had lost, and I was not pleased. And I was sitting there watching the women's championship game. Like, man, look at this fool. It's just, this dude got like 45 assists today. Like, how do you get 45 assists in a day? It was something ignorant. I was not happy. So, you know, that was, and it just goes to we follow it. Everything we talk about on the air, we try to apply that to what we do with our fantasy leagues. And as we watch and you know, dissect the game, we're watching it, so we want to come back and talk about it with you guys on air. So we're putting that into it, and it was just that close. I mean, it was nip and tuck until the last day, and he pulled away, and I got extremely lucky. But you can call me Mercury Morris, baby, because I'm undefeated. 72 Dolphins, stand up. What? Woo!
Ooh, boy. Sorry. He's waiting for that, Rob. I apologize, bro. Okay. He was waiting for that. Go ahead,
you
Rob.
Must have been.
Go ahead, Rob.
You must have been pretty depressed if you're watching the women's basketball game championship. But
hey, I was rooting for Don Staley, baby. I was going to watch it anyway. I was rooting for Don Staley to get that title.
To all the ladies out there, I apologize. That was, you know.
Send all your emails to Rob Ford at.
Right. I was going to let you slide, dog. I wasn't going to say nothing about that. I was just going to let you just watch them.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Hey,
Go ahead,
we
Rob.
Love women's basketball here, talking sports with a 12-man. It was just a joke. And congratulations, Jeff. Congratulations to South Carolina. Congratulations to Mississippi State, too, breaking UConn's incredible streak as well. And so that was definitely a tremendous feat, breaking that as well. So we had all SEC women's finals. So congratulations to the Carolackeys, South Carolina for the women and North Carolina for the men.
Yeah, Carolina sure is strong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Good job. All right, gentlemen, we got about 4.5 minutes here, so we've got our fantasy shout-out in there, so all is well. And let's keep it going here. Let's talk about some interesting news here that I was following up on, and that where there's smoke, there's fire. And apparently, quarterback Richard Sherman is apparently on the block. And if you told me, you know, again, earlier the season, I would probably fight you on this. But, yeah, man, I guess there's a couple teams that may be interested. Like, this is from Rob's perspective. Tell me the five teams that you think Rob should trade for Richard Sherman.
Well, obviously, I'm going to start with the New England Patriots again. They seem to be able to acquire players like this and still have to be effective, even on the downside of their careers, put them in the right position to succeed. I'm sorry, excuse me. Brandon Browner, I mean, this guy, when he came to the Saints, he looked like the worst cornerback in the National Football League. I mean, people was beating him by 10 yards down the field. When he was with the Patriots, he was still a solid cover corner. And the difference 1 year makes. The Oakland Raiders, obviously, I'm going back to the Bay Area. The Raiders can use some help at the corner position to improve their defense as well. Dallas Cowboys just lost the Cowboys just lost their top three cornerbacks in free agency, so they're going to be desperate. So if you know what they're going to be looking to pick in the draft, look no further than cornerback, and they can use a Richard Sherman. Tennessee Titans, I just mentioned that they're going to take Lattimore in the first pick in the draft. They can use some help at the corner. The Eagles can use some help at the corner. And obviously, my New Orleans Saints can definitely use some help at cornerback. I'm just a little leery, though, of getting somebody like that, especially when we got a Brandon Brown or like that looking atrocious. So hopefully Richard Sherman don't be that bad.
JQ, you got 50 seconds, man. Go ahead, bro.
I've got all the same top five. And the real quiet life for me, when the sneaky one he talked about that has my fifth one, is the Titans. Because you look at them and he can help solidify that defense and give them that veteran leadership. If Mariota keeps taking those steps, they got a decent wide receiver. They got a fantastic 1-2 combo and running back. That, you know, and that AFC South is there for winning. It really is. And they were on the upswing this year. They continued that growth. He goes to the Titans and helps that defense out. They're sneaky in the postseason because they'll be able to play defense and they'll be able to run the ball.
Good call. All right, man. I like those. That's some good picks, man, for both of those teams, guys. And, you know, I don't really have much to add as far as that, too. You know, what about the Jets? Do you think they're kind of an outside option, too, guys, you know, after releasing Darrell Revis? Or you think they're just kind of like no more older cornerbacks? Excuse me. What do you think about that?
He might not report. If he gets traded to the Jets, he might not report.
He's like, I'm out. That's it. I ain't showing up.
Yeah, I'm done.
I ain't showing up.
I got the ring. I'm good.
Oh, man. That's crazy. All right, Rob, we got about 1:40. Go ahead and wrap the show up, and we'll get ready for the OT portion, sir.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in on tonight. Had a great time talking sports with you all. We'll be back on next week on Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. It's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss it. On next week, we'll be a couple of weeks closer, a week closer to the NBA draft. We'll be on the NFL draft. I'm sorry, I'm sleepy. We'll be 2 weeks away from the NFL draft on next week when we get to our show on Wednesday night. So we'll have more updates for you all next week. Obviously, we'll be have a better idea of the seeding for the NBA playoffs come Wednesday night or next week as well, as that'll be the last night of the NBA's regular season. So you don't want to miss that as well on next Wednesday night. Once again, it's 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Good night, people.
JQ.
I was going to say, man, I'm going to get Rob like an Altoids or a lozenge or something because he's got his 97.3, you know, smooth jazz going. It's fantastic. I love it. I appreciate y'all good people for listening to us. Download the podcast. Share it with your friends. You won't have enough
a better time listening to it. Rob would drop a little TNA on us here and there. I love it. It's fantastic. And go Chargers.
The
Again,
Los Angeles
this show is supposed
Chargers.
To be for everybody. This show is supposed to be for everyone there, for kids and adults, man. But I guess we kind of like cross over to a whole other platform. But that's okay. Every now and then, I'm like,
this late night sports talk. This late night sports talk.
I put asterisk on this episode because we're normally pretty good too. But anyway, we are officially talking. It's the OT portion of the show, and yeah. So if you are listening on the podcast, yeah, you know, this is what happens when you have our show later on in the week as well, too, man. Because we get a little crazy, man. But it's all in good fun, like we always say. Let's talk about it here. So now we're going to talk about the top five NFL QBs today. We're going to talk about some more NBA, and we're going to dip into some baseball too. I know the season just started, and we'll talk about that and some more Michael Jordan talk. But yeah, so JQ, you want to give us your top five QBs for the NFL today?
Yeah, you know I'm going with number one. He's pretty much number one with everybody. And,
oh, man.
There you go.
Tim Tebow. I know. Tim Tebow. Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
man, you ain't got a little Tim Tebow. Yeah, I noticed your man crush and everything.
It's been like weeks, man. I figured I'd be perfect. I'll throw it in there. Go ahead. We know it's Tom Brady. Go ahead, bro. That's number one. Go ahead.
Yeah, and Mike has walked away. I got to go with Aaron Rodgers. He's just ridiculous with what he does. I mean, I don't think you really need to say any more about it. I think that's a good one, too. And you can throw Drew Brees in there. As a three-person teaser, they are in their own kind of their own kind of rarefied air. You got to put Big Ben, and I hate the Steelers, but Big Ben is actually an Ohio boy, so I'll give him a little love on that end of it. You can't help who drafts you, so he just did what he had to do. But, you know, he's got a couple titles, and he's still flirting with, you know, retirement and whatnot, but what Big Ben has done, you got to put him in that top five. And then that fifth one, I'm kind of like, you know, I could go so many different ways. I don't really have one. You know, a Matt Ryan, a Matthew Stafford, a Cam Newton, a Russell Wilson, a Derek Carr. You know, I just don't really have a favorite of Philip Rivers. Like, I could, you know, just mix them in the bowl and come out with one. You could make a case for being that fifth member. So, there you go.
I'm the MVP, JQ. I'm the MVP. Come on, bro. That's just one for Matt Ryan. All right, go ahead, Rob. I'm messing. Go ahead.
Well, I'm saying Tom Brady obviously has set the bar pretty high. You can almost make a case for him being the greatest quarterback ever in NFL history. So
no.
Obviously you got to have Brady at the number one. I say you can make a case. I didn't say he was. You can make a case that he's the greatest quarterback in NFL history. So obviously I got to put Brady one. And if you base it off on last season, I have Matt Ryan number two. And after coming off an incredible season for the Atlanta Falcons, so I have Matt Ryan at the number two position. Aaron Rodgers, even though he kind of slumped a little bit in the middle of the season, kind of started to get his edge back a little bit toward the end in the playoffs. So I have him at number three. I have Drew Brees at number four, still putting up electric numbers at 37, 38, going on 39, I guess, at this stage in his career. And number five, I have Ben Roethlisberger. Obviously, it took the Steelers to the AFC Championship game. That offense still putting up big-time numbers due to him at the position. And those are my top five.
I like it, man. I actually kind of agree with you, Rob. Good show on the picks, man, as well. So good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey,
hey.
I do
want
to –
Only
hey,
because
hey,
I
hey,
have
hey,
Matt
hey,
Ryan, number one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm mad you have Matt Ryan over Aaron Rodgers. You are tripping. Oh, no days.
He said based on last season, though. That's what he said, too. He kind of threw that caveat on there, too, man. So, I mean, I you know, like I said, if you wanted to, you know, look at the whole like history of quarterbacks, you know, hey, that's fair enough. I mean, like I said, Aaron Rodgers is up there, bro. I'm not going to lie and say that he's not the worst. But, you know, Matt Ryan had an incredible season, man. So I wouldn't have, you know, I would not even have expected that as well, man. But
okay.
It's all good, man.
So let me tell you this: you got a chance to pick somebody. You got your whole team you have right now, and your choice of quarterback is Matt Ryan or Aaron Rodgers. Which one would you pick?
Aaron Rodgers, man. Come on, bro. That's a dumb question, man. But I'm saying, like, out of last season's stats, you know, or what happened last year. he had a fantastic season, man. So, I mean, like I said, he went Super Bowl. Now, over the longevity of his career, yeah, Aaron's a lot better. But Rob did say based upon last season, Matt Ryan. But it's all good. I mean, it is what it is.
I'll be honest with you, though. You look at the last two seasons for Aaron Rodgers, they have not been his best football, in my opinion. I mean, you look at the season before last, he struggled big time towards the end of the season. And he had a patch of last season where he really struggled, too. And so, I mean, he has not been the typical Aaron Rodgers that we've seen for most of his career, in my opinion, the last 2 years. I mean, I still have him in the top five, no doubt. But you really look closely at his game, he's had his moments of struggles in the last 2 years.
I still tell you this.
We've talked about it quite a bit on the show as well.
I tell you like this. If you give me that same Atlanta team and I switch out, and I had an option to switch out even based on last year's play, if I had the same Atlanta team and I had a choice between Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers, I would still take Aaron Rodgers.
Of course, bro. That's easy, man. That's easy breezy, man.
I've heard Andre Taylor's like that.
But I got two
I'm
words
just saying,
about Aaron Rodgers.
Last year, I would take Aaron Rodgers.
You're not hurting my feelings. I mean, he's a better quarterback. But you're going to be playing with what you got, bro. But, I mean, I get you. But two words for Aaron Rodgers, Olivia Munn, man. That's what's happening with that, man. So we'll keep that going, too, man. So, yeah. Rob.
Him.
Really
belt,
quickly,
right? Love the belt.
That's okay, man. I would love to switch places with him for that, too, but that's a whole other conversation. I love the wifey. I'm just saying. It's one of those things, man.
Hey,
all right. It's all good. Hey, all right. This is why we definitely like this episode. He's like, yeah. Hey, so, Rob, really quickly, how come Michael Jordan was at the game, bro? What's going on, man? Tell me about that, man. Why wasn't he at the title game?
Well, based on what Roy Williams said, he had a conversation with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan told him, hey, I'm not going to come to the game this year because I went last year and we lost. And, you know, Michael Jordan is a gambler. He's superstitious. And so he decided not to go to the game just because he felt like that would help the team to win. And I don't consider myself a superstition person, but in Michael Jordan's case, it worked this time around with the Tar Heels coming out on top. And so supposedly that was the reason why he didn't come to the game. I mean, obviously, you would think of an avid golfer like Michael Jordan would want to go to Phoenix, where there's a golf course on every corner of every street. And
Rob's got some problems, man. You got some problems, bro. Oh, man. Go ahead, man.
Go ahead, Rob. Or maybe he was in Phoenix and just didn't go to the game, but who knows? But
no, he didn't go to
the game. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
But they didn't attend the game supposedly for that reason, and that reason only.
Yeah, but that's him though. I firmly believe he didn't go anywhere near Phoenix because he's superstitious. So he was there last year and they lost, and he's a gambler and he's superstitious. He said, "I'm not going back to that two times in a row. Maybe I was the bad luck." And now that they've won without him in attendance, he's not going back to a championship game for a good minute. For the next couple, and I'm not saying they're going to get there in the next couple of years. I'm just saying as long as Michael Jordan's alive over these next 10, 15 years, if they get back to the championship game twice or three times, those first two times, he's not going. He might go for the third time, like, okay, they broke the hex or whatever it is. And he was not trying to be in – yeah, he wasn't trying to be in the audience for the crying Jordan memes. Not having it. That's not where he was going to be. You know he thought about that. You know he did. He wasn't going anywhere. I totally get why he didn't go this year. Absolutely. He really can only lose because I talked about it before. There are no smiling Jordan memes where he wins and everybody shows him dunking on the other team and they're like, yes, North Carolina wins. Like, those memes don't exist. Only memes exist are the bad memes. So he can't win in that argument. He can't. It's true. You know I'm telling the truth. He can't win.
So
it
sounds like the reason why he goes because of the memes, man. That's the reason why he didn't want to go, because he wanted to be on a meme. That's what it sounds like, bro. That's not anything about
that's
the
a
game
part of it.
In the gambling. Oh, man.
That's
all
a
right.
part of it. He may
fair
never
enough,
admit to it,
enough.
But that's a part of it. I believe that in my soul.
Yeah, man. You can't make stuff like that up, man. All right. We got about literally 5 minutes left in the show. And I guess without further ado, we got to do the top five major league baseball second baseman. So if you want to do that really quickly, JQ and Rob, I'm going to ask you a question as we wrap up too, because it is related to Jordan too, man. So if you guys can do that really quickly, that'd be fantastic. You know, at least hopefully 30 seconds apiece, man. Go ahead, man. JQ.
You can go. I just for off the five I have, I'm going to show the stats, just my own opinion. I'm going with Altuve from Houston because he's just as a man, and he might win the MVP if they don't decide to give it to Trout, because you give it to Trout every
30
year.
30 seconds,
I think Cano has a bounce-back year for Seattle. He's a monster as well. Daniel Murphy for the Nationals, you know, he has balled in the last couple of postseasons for both of them and regular season as well. I'm going with the Lakers show, Dustin Pedroia for Boston, him and the Killer Bees. You know, with that rotation with Sale and Porcello and David Price, they're going to be something to deal with this year in Boston. And Ian Kinsler from Detroit, the dude just keeps aging and he just keeps getting on base and batting 300. I mean, that's just what he does.
JQ, that was you, JQ. Rob, sorry.
Well, my only difference will be I have Brian Dozier from the Twins over Ian Kinsler. That'll be the only change. Out of the top five. Obviously, he came out of nowhere, had a 42 homer season last season, but previous 2 years had 23 and 28. So that would be the only change for my top five and second baseman.
Thank you, guys.
But Altuve, you're right. I had him number one as well.
Yeah, Altuve is a guy.
So really quickly, I'm going to ask this to you guys because there's an interesting comment. You guys may have not have caught this, but Dennis Rodman made a point about LeBron James and how the fact that he couldn't survive in the past NBA like Michael Jordan, because Michael Jordan played, you know, full seasons and also played in the playoffs, man. So I don't know what your thoughts about that too, because this is kind of an interesting comment from Dennis Rodman, who played with the Bad Boys, Detroit Pistons, and he's actually giving a compliment to Michael Jordan about, you know, how the fact that, you know, hey, Michael is a lot better than LeBron, and you know, I'm curious how this is going to play out as well, man. So did you guys see that comment, Rob? Did you see that, JQ, about that? It kind of like earlier today, man.
Yeah.
So I need to kind of talk about that. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Rob.
Bad Boys, Bad Boys. What you gonna do? But yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously LeBron James is the best basketball player of this generation.
Yeah.
And I feel like he definitely could play in any generation. I'm a LeBron fan, but I will say this. I didn't like the way he was whining this year trying to get more players on his team. You know, we talked about the titty out of your mouth, and that's, you know, that he really needs it. And for all the whining and crying he was doing this year, and I'm a LeBron fan. I'll be the first one to tell you that. But I was not a fan of the way he was doing, or you know, crying for more players, and you know, and obviously they've been really struggling. It looked like they had a big win against the Celtics last night, but they've really been struggling this year, and it's a big question if they're going to be able to turn it on come playoff time. So I would still say they'll win the East. But at the way they're playing, it'll be tough for them to win a game in the NBA series, whether it's against the Warriors or the Spurs. But Well, I think it'll probably be the Rockets. But I think he will be able to play in any generation just because of being such a gifted athlete he is. But I didn't like the whining he was doing this year.
Go ahead, JP.
Yeah, obviously, don't shortchange the Rockets, because I don't know, because they play zero defense in Cleveland this year. Like, it's abysmal. They gave up, Rob trying to beat me, they gave up like 105, 110 points to the Sixers. Like, it was bad. You can't give up that many points to the Sixers, and they're the worst team or one of the worst five teams in the league, and you can't do that. I think he's talented enough, and I agree with Rob, that he's talented enough to adapt to any era. I think part of him knows he can get away with that in this era, where if he was playing in Jordan's era, he wouldn't do that because he knew that wouldn't be allowed. You know what I mean? That's just not what you did. So
yeah.
I think he's just a part of the circumstance. I don't think you need to necessarily pit them against each other, because it's just two totally different things that happen. And, yeah, you say that, but Michael Jordan also had 2 years off when he was, air quotes, you know, retired playing baseball. I personally think he got suspended for gambling, and I will always believe that to the day that I die. But it's just a different era and the way they were raised and what they did. So, you know, Rodman, you know, all the older, every older player has a gripe about with the way the new generation plays, right? Like back in my day, you know, we walked uphill at 7 miles of snow, you know, with no backpack and we carried all our books. You're right. You know, like you have those crazy wild tales that older people tell to younger people. So it is what it is. I think there's no more than that.
Rob, end the show, bro.
Next week, people, Wednesday night, 11 p.m. You don't want to miss it. 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, San Francisco, L.A., Seattle, Eugene, Oregon. Make sure you tune in next week. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all. I hope you bear with me. I try to bring some fun to the show, but Rob killed it, though. So don't blame him for Rob says, because Rob has his own mind, but he's killing the 10.3 Smooth Groove station tonight. I love it. You guys are coming that way every time, Rob.
All right, sure. Good night, people. Have a good one. See you next week.